Now, the scripture reading this evening is taken from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading the entire chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I couldn't stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. I selected this scripture this evening for our message because it speaks of the Apostle Paul preparing a trip for his young disciple, Timothy. And it speaks of some things that would be on the heart of Paul and was given to Timothy as a concern when he went to see the Thessalonian believers. And so I want to touch on some of these things as matters that we can pray about regarding our team that just left for Africa. Paul says that he was concerned for the believers in Thessalonica because, as you recall from the book of Acts, when he visited that city, he found much response to the gospel and was able to get a church started in Thessalonica, and the believers trusted Christ and they began to grow in the things of the gospel. And from the epistle to the Thessalonians, you know that in a very brief period of time, the Apostle Paul covered many of the important doctrines of the faith with these new Christians in Thessalonica. But as you know, the persecution began and it became very intense. And Paul left that particular area and the church was left there without him. Although while he was there, he ordained elders and commanded them how to direct this church. So Paul was in Athens and he said, I was there alone, and he says, I just couldn't stand it any longer. He says, because I knew that when I left, the persecution would become intense. And he says, I don't know how you've been doing, and I'm very concerned for you. And he says, I couldn't stand it any longer. I had to know how you were doing, so I told Timothy to go over and to find out how you were doing. Paul says, I know you're suffering a great deal of persecution. But he says, when I was with you, I told you that these things would come to pass. So he says, be not surprised. But he says, the important thing I want to know is through these persecutions, are you holding steadfast in the faith. Because, he says, it could be that the tempter has come in and tempted you, and some of you may have been drawn away. And Paul realized that while he was there with them, he taught them, they looked to him, and they had his cover, they had his instruction, and he being their shepherd, he was gone. And of course, when the shepherd leaves, the wolves come in, do they not? And he knew that had happened, and he was very concerned for the Christians there. Now, he did not continue the emphasis on the persecution particularly, but he says, the purpose I sent Timothy to you was not to find out how heavy the persecution was, because you knew that was coming. I told you it was. I've been praying for you that your faith would be steadfast, but I wanted to find out how your faith was holding up. So the condition of their faith was the key thing that the Apostle Paul wanted to find out as he sent Timothy along to them. Because he recognized the fact that if some of them turn back, and in the excitement and the wonderful preaching of Paul in the ministry, he realized that maybe some of them came in and did make some kind of profession of faith, but they really were not grounded. They really did not commit themselves totally to Christ. And when persecution comes, of course, there will always be those that fall away. Now, when he sent Timothy, he sent him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want to know, Timothy, how their faith is. And that's the first thing I want you to see this evening. As our team goes there to Mali and Burkina Faso, they will want to know very early in their arrival there, what is the state of the church? Are the Christians in these churches going on with Christ? The missionaries and the national pastors that are working there, are they finding that those who have began with Christ are going on to full discipleship? It was so heartening to hear Ginny speak the condition of their souls, the condition of their faith. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And do we not see that in our day, as our team goes out, that through the work of World Relief Corporation, many who are in dire straits because of poverty and famine and drought, the supplies that World Relief brings along can feed thousands. You think of the numbers of people, as we see in, listed in the Gospels, at least those are accounts that are given to us, and I expect that many other people did Jesus feed that have not been written down here in these four Gospels. But more people are fed every year in underdeveloped countries through the ministry of World Relief Corporation than probably Jesus fed in all the time that he was on this earth. Greater works than Jesus even did shall we do, and those who name his name do in his name, by that power which he has given unto us, and by, in these last days, the technology and the advances of science that God has allowed for us to use for his glory and for the relief of suffering of people around the world. Now, when a section of a particular country is racked with famine, people are starving, you've seen the films, little children are dying, and those trucks come in with the food that has been donated from Christians in the developed parts of the world, does it not seem like a miracle to those people to see that food coming, and where they were starving, they now have something to eat? And the missionaries are there working with the people, and the national pastors are there, and they take this food and distribute it freely amongst the people. Oh, maybe they don't call it a miracle, but it doesn't come from the hand of the Lord? Isn't it God's provision through his people to supply this food to those who are in need? But you know, beyond the food for the body, the important aspect of the relief efforts of World Relief Corporation and other Christian organizations. And as Dr. Fisher said earlier, we at Park Street Church have committed ourselves to work with such agencies who distribute this food and water and various kinds of relief supplies through the local church, through the missionaries. Because it is absolutely imperative, my friends, that in addition to these things that are given to the people, the gospel must be proclaimed. And the only ones that we can depend on proclaiming the gospel are those who know Jesus Christ and are there for the purpose of teaching the people, discipling the people, and building up the local church, that being the national pastors, national workers, and the missionaries in that location. And so the relief efforts that we give ourselves to will also be accompanied with the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said about himself, he says, I am the bread from heaven. He says, I am the living bread. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. With the distribution of the bread, that the people will not starve, there is also the distribution of the word of life, Jesus Christ, that bread from heaven that came down and walked amongst us. And he that partakes of this bread shall never die. They spoke of the digging of the wells, and what a simple well in a village for a simple $2,000 will change the life of that entire village in giving them the water of life. How important that is. But how much more important is it when you also dig that well and give the people the fresh water to tell them the fresh water of eternal life in Jesus Christ? And how Jesus spoke with the woman who was at the well that day, and he said to her, he says, everyone who drinks this water, speaking of the spiritual water, will not have to come continually, but he says, whoever drinks the water from the well is thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I think of the ministry of medicine. What great strides have been made in the last 50 years. And these things are available to us through missionary doctors and nurses to help the people that are in such great physical need. Is it not a miracle to them when they come and their bodies are racked with pain and disease, and beforehand they would die, and little children were diseased, and they would have high fevers, and the fever just would increase until the child would die. And then a missionary doctor such as our Dr. Stephen Duncan in Angola, and a hospital that was there for years, but because of war, it was closed, and all the windows broken, and there was nothing there anymore. And the people were sick, and there was no help for them. He comes in the name of Jesus Christ and opens up that hospital, and by the contributions of God's people in the developed world, equipment is put into that hospital, windows are put on, and the people come into that clinic. And with the distribution of the proper medicine, with the skill that a man like Dr. Duncan has, who here in the United States was trained and received excellent knowledge of medical matters, and with those instruments, the people come in and he puts them on the operating table and he can take care of that sickness and can bring a healing so that in 4 or 5 days they don't die and are taken away and buried, but rather they get up from that hospital bed and walk away. Oh, it's not the instantaneous healing as Jesus did in his day when he just touched a woman, or he touched a man, or he touched a blind man and they could see. But for the people receiving the help, when they walk away 5 days later, 6 days, whatever it may be, is it not a miracle for them? And they say, why do you come? Why do you give us this help? And we say, we give it because of God. That he loves you. And Jesus Christ loves you. And he came and he died for you. And Jesus Christ dwells within our hearts. And we have a compassion and a concern for you thousands of miles away. unfamiliar to us. But we love you because God loves you. And we love you because Jesus Christ died for you. And if you name the name of Christ and you have trusted in Christ as your Savior and you love him in Africa as we love him in the United States, we're concerned for you. Because you're my brother, you're my sister. And with the help that we can give you, in God's name, we will give it. And how that encourages the work of the national pastors and the missionaries that are laboring there. You see, friends, it's possible in relief work that could become an end in itself. People are always hungry. People are always starving. There's always a calamity or a disaster somewhere in the world. And you could continually go and relieving all of these distresses. And it's possible to never get around to preaching the gospel. But you see, the scripture doesn't allow for that. Even Jesus himself said he was standing by the way one day, his disciples were there, and another crowd came around to see him. And Jesus pointed to the crowd and he said, you see these people? He says, they've come here today for another meal. He says, they have no interest in the kingdom of heaven. They just want to be fed. Another time the Pharisees were with him and they were asking for signs. He says, you do always ask for a sign. He says, a wicked and an adulterous generation demandeth a sign. But he says, there shall be no sign given to you. But the sign of John is. That's the only sign that'll be given to you. Oh yes, it's always easy to get a crowd if there's going to be a distribution of food. If there's going to be signs and wonders all the time, yes, a crowd will come. But that crowd may have no interest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, speaking of himself, and as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, when he was in his own town of Nazareth, he went into the temple, and he went to read in the book of Isaiah, and it was that scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of God's favor." The first thing. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He speaks about the other physical things, the blindness and the imprisonment and the oppression. Yes, but the first thing, preach the gospel to the poor. Another time, John the Baptist was inquiring of Jesus as to, is this the one we have been looking for, or are we to look for another? And the disciples brought that word to Jesus. And Jesus says, you go back and you tell John this. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. The ministry of Jesus. The lame were walking, the blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing, even the dead were being raised up. And in the midst of those mighty miracles, he told them, the gospel will be preached to the poor. And so, it's absolutely essential that the gospel be preached in all of our relief efforts. And so it is with World Relief and the missionary agencies and the National Church that we associate with. And we thank God for that. And you can take assurance that when you invest your monies in an organization like World Relief, that the gospel emphasis is of primary importance in those relief efforts. Now, as we move along, there's two other things I want to bring to your attention. In this letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians upon the return of Timothy, and Timothy brought good news, because when he went to the church, he found that they were steadfast in the faith and that their love was growing. And he brings that report back to Paul, and Paul says, I was overjoyed when I heard how you were established in the faith and how that you were going on in the things of God. He said, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. He said, this is our joy. He said, this is my joy and crown to see that you're standing fast in Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he says, now may our God and Father himself of our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. He says, I want to come to you. My heart is extended to you, and I love you, and I want to be with you presently. And he prays that God would allow him to do that. But he says, meanwhile, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. As our team goes to Africa, may this be our prayer for them, that their love will be evident to the Christians in Mali and Burkina Faso as they represent Park Street Church in Boston, that we love them and we have a concern for them because they're our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, redeemed by the same Savior that we were redeemed. And that this love may increase amongst the Christians in Africa, and that our witness and our testimony to them would cause this to increase, and that their vision would expand, even in their poverty, to the outlying areas from where they are, that the gospel will expand. Even in their poverty, they have that responsibility to see that the gospel goes forth to those round about them. Then he says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless. This is the third thing. There's the faith. He was concerned that their faith would be established. Secondly, he was concerned that their love would abound to one another and then to others as well. And finally, that they would be strengthened and that they would be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father. You see, the Christian life is a life of holiness. What does it mean to be holy? Simply means to be separated from the things of the world, the things that defile one in their Christian life, and committed and separated unto God. So you're separated from the worldly way, you're separated to God for His service. These Christians were just new believers in Thessalonica. There was many temptations in that great city, just as there are in the city of Boston. And Paul said, my prayer is for you that you're going to be holy and that you're going to conform your life to that of Jesus Christ and to live for Him. And he gives one more admonition to them. And he said that your holiness and your blameless life are to be looked at in the light of when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. In that short time that Paul was in Thessalonica, he spent time teaching the new Christians there the fact that Jesus Christ would return and the importance of maintaining their lives in commitment and holiness, that they would be found in that way blameless, found prepared when He comes. My, you go through the four Gospels. How many parables and teachings of Jesus pertain to that very thing? The end times. And how we ought to be prepared. And about people that were not prepared when their Lord returned. Chapters and chapters of that kind of teaching. Jesus said we're to be ready when He comes. And Paul instructed the the Thessalonians in that, that they were to be blameless for the coming of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. See, the doctrine of the coming of Christ has a purifying effect upon the church. You're looking for the Lord's return. You want to be found ready. You want to be found holy. You don't want to be found mixing in the sinful things of the world, but you want to have your life committed to Christ. And as we live in this day, with so many things troubling going on around the world, particularly in the Middle East, you take your newspaper in one hand and your Bible in the other and pray and see what God might tell you about the two things that are happening right before our eyes. And as Paul said to the Thessalonians, he says to us, are we ready? Are we blameless? Are we committed to a holy life in light of the coming of the Lord? I entitled the message this evening, Good News from a Far Country. And the good news to the Christians in Mali and Burkina Faso will be that the Christians in Boston are following Jesus Christ. Their faith is steadfast. Though we have our temptations, we have our problems, we have our sufferings in our abundance. We have those things. But may our pastor and the others tell them that we're standing fast for Christ. That our love is growing one for another. And because of the love that we have, others see that. Others are being touched by our lives and coming in to the fellowship of this church. And most important, giving their lives to Jesus Christ. That's good news from a far country. And then as our team returns from Africa, may they find, indeed, that the Christians in that part of the world are standing in faith, are loving one another and loving their community for Jesus' sake, and that they're maintaining a blameless and a holy life, looking for the coming of the Lord. If our team can bring that kind of report back, how it will enrich our hearts, because we are fellow believers with them, and one day we will be united with them, with all those from around the world, from all ages, that have trusted and loved Jesus Christ, from every tribe and kindred and nation, and will stand before the throne, worshiping and glorifying God forever and ever and ever. We thank God for the feeding and for the wells and for the medicines and the healing and all that takes place in Jesus' name. But most of all, we're encouraged by their faith and their love and their holiness and their looking for the return of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And Father, though we have not met them, we just rejoice at what you have done and are doing right now through the Christians that our team will meet in just a few hours. Lord, we thank you for your working in their lives, increase their ministry, that others in those countries will hear the gospel. And Lord, help us here in Boston that we might be men and women of faith, that we might love one another and live lives that are pleasing in your sight until Jesus comes. In his name we pray, amen.